Lord, allow your scriptures to speak to us and allow my words to be your words. Allow the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts to be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, we discover some pretty profound things about what it means to be able to romance the stone, right? So, romancing the stone, what does that even mean? What does that even look like for us today? Well, as we come to this place this morning, God brought us here. We're able to connect with one another, but we're also able to connect deeply and profoundly with Him. One of the issues that many of us have is all the junk and the baggage that hinders us from what He desires. Can we call it the toxins in our lives? Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Everybody heard that? Understand that? It's talking about holy living. If you look at the chapter before, it's talking about holiness and what it means to be holy. And holiness is to be set apart for God, set apart for noble purposes. And to be set apart means that we are God's. We now belong to God, and God is able to move in us and move us toward Himself more readily and wholeheartedly. The word romance is defined as to court or to love or to woo. I don't know if it would happen in that order, would it? Court to love or to woo. Wouldn't you woo before you love or court before? Anyway. There's a lot to be said for where we find ourselves in our lives. Some of us have stories that are difficult and tragic, and we've seen triumph in the midst of the difficult times, and others of us have wrestled through times in our lives where we haven't been able to comprehend what's happened, and we haven't been able to discern the various things that have taken place. Yet God can enable us and empower us to be so much more. And the first thing that comes from verse 1 in 1 Peter chapter 2 is romance the stone by getting rid of toxic substances in your relationship. So we got to get rid of the toxic substances in our relationship. Slander, envy, malice, all these malicious things. Some of us would sit here and say, I'm fine. I don't have any of that stuff. Yet we do. And we've thought things we shouldn't think, and we've said things we shouldn't say. And it's not about guilt, it's not about any of that, but what it is about is actually looking in the mirror and seeing who we actually are and desiring to become who God desires us to be. That can be tough for us, because a lot of times with our finite minds, we can't see the infinite things of God, so it's hard for us to comprehend what that even looks like. The second thing, you're like, wow, he's flying through today. Last week was so long. What's he doing? The second thing is romance the stone by growing in your relationship with him. See, it says the rock that causes, you know, Jesus is the capstone, the cornerstone. But for those that believe, he's a capstone. For those that don't believe, he's the rock that causes people to stumble and causes them to fall, right? So this Jesus, he's either going to be our capstone, our cornerstone, he's going to be our foundation. If you take that capstone away, everything collapses. Or he's going to be the rock that causes us to stumble and fall. And we're not going to be able to, it's going to be confusing and we're not going to understand. But ultimately, God desires us to discover him and for him to be the capstone and cornerstone of our lives. You notice how it talks about milk? Crave pure spiritual milk. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. See, as we grow up, see, a lot of people think once they say a prayer, they're saved and they have salvation. But it says grow up in your salvation. See, growing, it's part of the discipleship process. It's this growth process that takes place, and it's a daily thing that we're to grow and crave pure spiritual milk. Crave Jesus more and more and more and more and more and more, because I can't get enough. It's like, think about someone in your life that maybe when you first met them, and maybe you married them, and you've met them and you're like, wow, I want to be near this person all the time. And then stuff started fading. And things started slipping. And you came to a place where you're like, I don't really want to be around this person that much anymore. I don't really want to hang out with this person anymore. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own direction. And then it leads to destructive lifestyle choices, right? So, the capstone, the cornerstone. Craving pure spiritual milk. There's this spiritual milk that nurtures our bones. And if anybody has brittle bones, you know that it's important to have strong bones, right? No? Yes, it is. It's important to have strong bones, right? Our frame, it's what our body's built. And if we have weak bones, we crack and break, and it's not a pretty sight. So we need to crave this spiritual milk. I really, really like what it talks about it as far as we are a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a people belonging to God. We have received mercy. Do you know you've received mercy if you're in Christ, that you have received mercy? God's mercy has been poured out upon you and upon me if we believe. And you may say, I don't need God's mercy. I'm fine. I can work through my life. I make it just fine. Apart from God's mercy, we do not have much of anything. The third thing, romance the stone by submitting to others. In verse 13 it says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. You hear that? But that doesn't make sense. How can I submit myself? How can I be submissive in certain areas when I don't agree with the government? I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with this. We are to submit ourselves to the authorities because God's ultimately appointed them over us, right? How about being under the reign of Nero back in Roman days when Nero reigned and he took Christians and burned them on stakes so that he would light up the streets in Rome? How would you like to live then and be submissive to a guy like that that was crazed and ultimately he was fiddling while Rome burned? He lit Rome on fire and blamed it on the Christians, and he fiddled, right? And so all this persecution came upon those that follow after Christ. Yet they realize they need to be submissive. And I want to share this. It's not being submissive to something contrary to God. Do you agree with that? Submission is not doing things contrary to God's law, contrary to what God would desire us to do. Submission is being submissive to what God has for us. And yes, sometimes there's people that are over us that we can wrestle with and say, I don't know about that. Yet, we're talking about romance, right? So, I want to read this passage from Ephesians. And I'm going to talk to the guys, then I'm going to talk to the ladies. And then I'm going to mix it up and talk to everybody at once, okay? Let's read this passage. It starts with 19. It's 5:19 through 33. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When was the last time that you sat near someone that you love and appreciate in your life and go, I love you. Right? What? Never? But it says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Right? Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You heard that? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to their husbands and everything. Now, some of you ladies sitting in here may be saying, how dare you? We are in a liberated society in which I don't need to submit to anybody, right? Well, the scriptures are pretty clear about submission. It's not about someone lording over us. It does say submit to one another, right? It doesn't, and it says women submit to, mainly because men, you sitting here today, many of us aren't leading like we're supposed to lead. Many of us have not truly followed after God, and we're not being the spiritual leaders of our households. Therefore, it leads to all sorts of conflict in the home. And as we don't lead, we don't experience the beauty that God actually has for us in the marital relationship. Women, many of you may say, I don't know about this. I've been on my own for so many years, and yeah, maybe I have a boyfriend, or I don't know. I don't know where you are in your life. Or maybe you've been married so long, and you're like, oh, I know how to lead my household. And let me tell you, society says that there's this liberation that has taken place. And there is, right? In many ways. Women are able to do anything. And it says in Galatians 3, it actually talks about what, I'm kind of bouncing here a little bit, but I want to share Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. You hear that? You're all one in Christ. Now, when a husband leaves his mother and father and goes and he's united with his wife, and the two become what? One. Not two. The two become one flesh. Right? See, there's something supernatural that happens when people are married. There's a covenant, but also there's a bond within the sexual relationship. And many of us would say, I don't want to talk about that. But that's the beauty of a marital relationship. There's this covenant, and then there's this amazing intimacy that takes place through sex, right? Well, some of you are going, stop it right now. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So, I think there may be some husbands or some wives that haven't really left their dad or mom. You know what I'm saying? Mom or dad is reigning over their home. Very unhealthy. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, right? So there's this departure. And a lot of times the mom or dad may reign over the child. But no, that's not supposed to be the case, right? You can seek wisdom and advice and gain knowledge from parental figures, but when you have your spouse, you need to be united with your spouse, and you need to be on the journey together and move forward together. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. There's these four Greek words that talk about love. In the English language, we can say, I love to eat fish. I love my wife. Right? What? Well, these four words are storge, which means affection. It's more like a family type of love. And then there's filio, which comes from Philadelphia. Filio is like brotherly love. It's this friendship. And then we have eros. Eros is more of an erotic, romantic type of love. And the other love is agape. Agape is an unconditional, supernatural, spiritual love. So unconditional love. Did you notice that it said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ? We're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Not because we think we should or shouldn't, out of reverence for Christ. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 3. It says, but I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. See, there's these dynamics that take place in the supernatural realm. Christ submits to God, and God, you know, leads Christ, but they're all one, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but different roles. Husbands and wives, men and women. Men and women have different roles. We shouldn't say, oh, no, that's not right. We should embrace that and say, that's beautiful. There is amazing beauty in the midst of difference. And God has created us different. Agreed? You may not agree with that, but I will say that the scriptures, society tells us one thing. The divorce rate is 1 in 2 marriages end in divorce. I don't want to take a secular view on my marital relationship. I want to take a spiritual, supernatural view on my relationship with my wife. And I pray that it will be one that is biblically based, because the Bible is tried and true. It is something that we can rely on. It's a trusted source. All of the psychiatrists and psychologists have all these things that they say will work. Yet ultimately, we find major failure in the marital relationships in our society. So the Bible stands firm. And this is what I desire, and I pray you desire, to base any of your relationships, whether it be a romantic relationship or any other relationship, that we base it on what the scriptures actually communicate to us. See, one of the keys to submission is that we do everything unto the Lord. And you may say, well, are there times in life when we can't submit, that we just can't submit or should not submit to the leadership? Absolutely. Let's say that you're a wife and your husband is a non-believer, and your husband says, oh, why do you go to that church? You shouldn't go to that church. I don't want you going to that church anymore. Do you think you should listen to that man and not go to church anymore? No, because God's law is more important. God's ways are more important than human ways, right? How about if I tell my wife, hey, Stacy, you know what? Let's go out and get drunk, right? You know, let's go out and get drunk. And you know, that's not right biblically. Should she submit to that? No, right? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. He will make your path straight. So there's this submission to God and this desire that God will enable us to be who he desires us to be. And he will, and he does. And I think one of the most important passages in this particular scripture comes at the very last verse, in verse 33. If you have your Bible open, read this. It says, "Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Women desire love. Agreed? They desire to be loved. There's this inner thing in a woman that says, "I really want to be loved." Right? I want to be loved. And us guys, we want to be loved, but mostly we want to be respected. I want my wife to respect me. And some of us aren't really being respectful, and some of us aren't really loving. Some of us guys aren't really pouring out love to our wives. And some of us wives aren't pouring out respect to our husbands. And you may say, "Well, I can't love her because of this, this, and this. And I can't respect him because of that, 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 that." Well, simple solution. If us men actually love the women in our lives with proper love, with this unconditional, supernatural, spiritual love, it will make a massive impact on the way our wives look at us or the women in our lives look at us. And if the ladies learn to respect the men in their lives, it'll make the men change their perspective on how they feel about the lady and the lady about the man. It's just a shift that takes place. And you may say, "I don't know. I don't know if that'll work. I can't really respect my man, and I can't really love my woman." Woman. Whoops. I don't have any concubines. You know? Meditate on that verse this week. Ephesians 5:33. Read that a bunch of times this week and process, what does that actually look like in my life? Let's pray. God, thank you for your scriptures. Thanks for allowing us to talk about them. And thank you for your ways being higher than our ways. And Lord, I thank you that we're able to gather here and we're able to talk about your scriptures. And God, I also thank you that you love us and you're able to enable us to love other people more than we could ever love them on our own. And Father, I ask that each one of us love our wives. And Lord, I ask that wives will respect their husbands. And Lord, I ask that we will be a community, Lord, that is truly in love with you and in love with one another. And Father, I just ask, God, that you will pour out your Spirit upon us and lead us and guide us to discover you more profoundly in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.